From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. David thought that he'd done everything right. He'd built a software product based on people's needs, grew a large user base, carefully began monetizing it, and then when it became time to expand his product, he carefully surveyed his users to make sure the new product would fit their needs exactly. In fact, he held a customer summit where 80 customers came and reviewed plans for this new product in person.
So we spent all day in breakout sessions showing people wireframes, doing clickable prototypes, and we got at that meeting, that was the turning point for the company, because at that two-day summit, at the end, we asked all the attendees, all of our customers, we said, on a scale of 1 to 10, how valuable do you think what we just showed you would be to you and your organization? The one is, this is completely useless, and 10, this is going to change my life. This is going to be a game changer for our organization. And it came back as a 9.1 with 80 people voting.
9.1 out of 10. I mean, you can't ask for much more than that, right? And David, I should say, is doing a very particular kind of work here. He's also more equipped to explain this kind of work than I am. So I'm just going to let him introduce himself.
My name is David Politis, and I'm the founder and CEO at Better Cloud.
And Better Cloud is what?
Better Cloud is a SaaS operations management platform.
Which means?
we enable IT to create, manage, and enforce policies across their SaaS applications.
I promise, if you are not in the kind of business that requires a SaaS operations management platform, you don't need to fully understand what that is in order to appreciate David's journey. Because the important thing to know is David bet his company's future on this feedback he was getting from his customers. He was about to do a major overhaul of his company's product and really an overhaul of what his company is at its core, and he felt confident that he understood his customers and what they needed. It took 18 months to build this new product, and the result was not what he was looking for.
We're in March of 2017. It's 18 months since we started this rebuild. We launched this amazing platform, in my opinion and in our team's opinion, but nobody's buying it. And that was the tough moment right there. That was a scary moment to say, did we just spend all this time doing something that's not actually going to pay off?
How do you seemingly do everything right and yet still get it wrong? That's the question we're going to face here in this episode of Problem Solvers, because I guarantee this will come up in your business. Perhaps it already has. You think you followed the playbook perfectly. You think you did all you could to understand your customer, but something along the way turned out to be faulty, and you need to figure out what that faulty part is and fast. Figure it out before you run out of money, or your customers lose interest in you, or you just meet eventual doom. And lucky for David, he did figure it out. Better Cloud today is thriving. People love this new product they built. But to get to this happy ending, he first had to go through a lot of pain and a big shift in perspective. So what was it? We'll get into it all right after this break. America is changing, and with it, the financial challenges we face. That's why Prudential and wellness expert Alexandra Drain are meeting people all across the country to learn more about what they're going through in a new project called The State of Us. Because even though our challenges may seem overwhelming, there's a path forward for everyone. To learn more about the financial challenges facing America, visit prudential.com/stateofus. And now, our second sponsor.
Incredible starts when you have an expert who knows your business. It starts with TriNet, human resources that tailor a strategy for success for small and medium-sized businesses. So no matter what industry you're in, you can grow with confidence. See how TriNet's industry-focused HR can give you more at TriNet.com. Incredible starts here. TriNet.
All right, we're back. So first, let's understand where BetterCloud came from. Years ago, David worked at a company called Cloud Sherpas. It was a consulting company that helped large organizations move from legacy technology to the cloud. So in other words, if you ran a giant Fortune 500 company and wanted to move all your employees' mail and calendar files and whatever from Microsoft Exchange over to Google's cloud services like Gmail, Google Drive, Google Calendar, and so forth, this consultancy, Cloud Sherpas, would help you do that.
End users loved it. Employees loved it. They loved using Gmail. That's what they were used to. They loved using Google Drive, sharing files, collaborating. But IT hated it because they didn't have the control. They didn't have the visibility. They didn't have the tool set that they had in the legacy environment. So at Cloud Sherpas, every customer we would migrate, the IT team would ask us to go build them some kind of management tool, security tool, some kind of custom app for them to use around Google. So my idea was to start a company, a software company, dedicated to building management security functionality around the Google stack. That was the original idea.
David was seeing a need in the marketplace, and he knew he could fill it. So he left Cloud Sherpas to develop this management tool himself. And on November 1st, 2011, he launched BetterCloud. And from the very start, David knew that communication with customers was the key to making BetterCloud a success.
I mean, the way we built the product is we spent a lot of time talking to people who were using Google, our old customers. We would go back to them, have conversations with them, and they told us exactly where their challenges were. And we literally built tools to fix every single challenge that they had, solve every challenge that they had.
BetterCloud released its first product, this thing built exactly to the needs of its potential customers, in July of 2012. And the response was enormous. They had about 2,000 companies a month installing their products. And we're talking companies with like 5,000 or 10,000 employees. Fortune 100 companies were installing this product. Now, they were giving the product away for free at this point, so it wasn't a full and total success. It wasn't yet proven that anyone would pay for this. But David was still in active communication mode. As these customers were adopting his free product, BetterCloud would ask them for feedback and then integrate it into the product, making it even more customized to their customers' needs. And this, in turn, drove even more companies to adopt it. So it was a virtuous cycle. But eventually, BetterCloud knew it would need to throw up a paywall. Like, a popular product is cool and all, but not if it's not making money. David kept delaying the date they were going to put up the paywall, though. He was just afraid of, you know, people not wanting to pay, of killing off all his company's momentum, of cutting off all that great feedback. But by 2015, it had to happen. So to figure out what to charge, David went back to the same playbook he'd been running from the start. He communicated with customers. He basically let them drive his decision-making.
We sent out a survey to all 30,000 organizations that were using our product, and we asked them, we segmented the organizations, and we asked them, these 2,000 companies, we asked them, we're planning on charging, will you pay $2 per employee per year, just per year, it's a very low price. Then this segment, would you pay $4 per employee per year? Then this segment, six, then eight, then 10. And so we basically asked across the 30,000, we segmented and asked a different number. And then we graphed the responses and we looked at where the optimal point on that chart was. And the number was $10 per employee per year.
Once they chose the price point, they gave customers a six-month heads up before they started charging. And even once they did start charging, they were going to offer customers a 30-day free trial. But now, finally was the moment of truth. After years of people downloading this software for free, BetterCloud would find out if people would really pay.
That night before we turned on the paywall was the most stressful. We turned it on at 1:30 in the morning, something like that. We had stayed up in the office, you know, the next day and turned it on at 1:30 in the morning. And someone in Australia bought at 1:31 in the morning, and everyone was celebrating. And the total contract value on that customer was $200 a year. But it was amazing.
Phew. And, you know, it's totally understandable how stressful that moment was for BetterCloud, but do keep in mind how much groundwork had gone into it. They developed a product based on customers' needs, refined it based on customer feedback, and then created a price point based on customer responses. So it worked exactly as it should have. Now comes the next big question for David's startup. How else can BetterCloud serve its now paying customers? And on this, customers had a very clear message.
They said, this product is really awesome. This is making a big impact for me in my G Suite environment. But I don't run some homogenous stack of just Google. I like Google. I use Gmail. But by the way, I also use Slack. And I like Drive, but my team uses Dropbox in this area and Box in this area. And I use Salesforce for my CRM. And so we heard, hey, this is no longer the IT environments of old that were these homogenous stacks. Hey, we're a Microsoft shop. We're an IBM shop. It was, we're going to buy the best in breed applications that our end users want. And that's what we're going to deploy in our organization. And so our customers were saying to us, I love it, but I need it for my other applications.
So David had a meeting with the leaders of his engineering team and said, hey, this is the feedback we're getting from customers. What is it going to take to build a new platform that can work on all of these other cloud services? I mean, it's a pretty radical transformation that he's asking for. BetterCloud was, until then, just a company that helped other companies use Google products. Now they were going to expand into untold numbers of other products. And his engineering team said, oh, this is going to take at least a year and maybe more. And it's going to take the entire engineering team to do it. So David says, okay, well, let's start with a mock-up. So they mock up the product, and then David does what he always does, which is that he wants to show these mock-ups to his customers to make sure that he is making what they want. And that becomes the customer summit that we talked about at the beginning of the episode. People came, they saw this new product, or the mock-up of it at least, they loved it, they gave it a 9.1 out of 10. And then after that, David sent an email to his entire company and said, all right, let's do this. It's going to be a big challenge, but we're going for it. And so BetterCloud did. His engineering team diverted almost all of its resources towards building this new, big, ambitious software product, and it would take 18 months. Throughout that 18 months, David was nervous. I mean, this was an all-in situation. He was betting the company on this massive shift. It had to work. There wasn't really another option. And in early 2017, the product was finally finished. And you know what happens next? It was pretty much David's nightmare come true. His customers, they weren't buying. It was released to them. It was marketed. Everyone was supposed to be excited, but nobody was buying. David had bet his company's future on a new product, and nobody wanted that product. Very quickly, his entire company started freaking out.
There was a lot of frustration internally. There was a group of people who felt like this was a sales problem and how we're going to market and a marketing problem and a messaging problem. There was a group of people who felt like this is a product problem. We didn't build all the features we had promised to those people in 2015 and they're not all there. That's the reason people aren't buying. People believed that this was just a – people who had come in after the rebuild had started felt like – well, this I was sold a bill of goods and I'm here at this company. I was told this is going to take off and what's happening now?
David didn't know exactly where the problem was, but he looked at his company as a whole and realized that he hadn't managed the rollout properly at all. I mean, you know, he was running this five-year-old company and everything about it was once oriented around the product it used to have, and that product was helping other companies use Google's cloud products. Now, BetterCloud was something totally different and it needed to talk about itself in a totally different way.
And we only gave ourselves a couple months to do that because we launched the platform and then we said, oh my God, all of our materials, these don't match this new platform. Our website doesn't talk about the value of this new platform.
A lot of scrambling ensued. Updated sales decks, updated website. People internally got very frustrated. I mean, a lot of salespeople quit because they just couldn't sell this product and that threatened their livelihood. It was getting really bad. David was the leader, which meant that this was David's problem to solve. And the way he looked at it, he had two problems. There was the external problem, like why are customers not buying this new product? And then there was the internal problem, which is to say his team members are all blaming each other. And there was no way he was going to solve the external problem without first solving the internal problem. So that's what he focused on first.
We changed a number of processes at the company. And essentially, almost every one of those was around communication.
He had the sales and product teams meeting on a weekly basis, and they would talk about objections that they had heard when trying to sell the product and also the roadmap for the next couple of months of developing it. They also had the engineering team share why they were building certain things and what their priorities were. And the company became very transparent with its employees, so everyone felt like they were plugged in and invested in each other's work.
We have a Slack bot now that sends out a update every Thursday that shows the roadmap for the next 90 days and what's coming in the next 90 days. And everyone in the organization is in the channel where that Slack bot sends that message. Everyone can see it. They can click on the link. They can get details about what's coming. That is something that didn't exist. And we realize we have to arm the sales organization to understand, hey, when you get this objection, you can say this is coming in 10 days, in 30 days, in 2 months. So we did things like that. We started publishing the marketing and sales plan. So in terms of what are the goals, how are we doing, but on a much more regular basis.
And they also set a sales goal. By the end of September 2017, they said, this is the number of customers that will adopt the new product. And that number was put everywhere. They put it on video screens throughout the company and showed it in all hands company meetings. This was the goal for everyone to meet. It's the thing that everyone would watch and rally around. It was the focal point. How are we going to hit this goal? Let's keep working together to hit this goal. But real talk here, David had no idea how to hit that goal.
No idea. No idea how to hit the goal.
No idea, except to go back to the thing that had worked for him this whole time. Well, I mean, until it stopped working. And that was understand what the customer wanted. Maybe BetterCloud was misunderstanding the customer in some fundamental, identifiable way. So David began meeting with his own sales team and asking what the customer feedback was. They said they got a lot of complaints about the product's pricing structure. It was really confusing. The old product was very simple. Remember, it was $10 an employee a year. But the new product, because it involved all of these complicated integrations with so many different cloud services, it had become a sprawling mess of a pricing system, and the salespeople had a hard time even explaining it. So David changed the pricing system to three different tiers. There are now three prices for three tiers of service. Very simple and straightforward. And then he heard a more complicated problem.
And the sales organization said, I'm having a really hard time explaining this product to customers because when I try to demo it the way you've been demoing it to us, it takes forever. And same thing, there's a lot of friction. People start wanting to dig deep into this and this and this and this. And so I said, okay, I need to get myself in front of our customers again.
Which is his roots, right? That's how he built this thing to begin with. So he started booking meetings with customers himself. Over the next few months, he flew around the country and met with 40 or 50 customers, and this gave him some great insight into what it was like to sell this product. For one, it took him like an hour and a half to fully present the company's value proposition. That was way too long. This sprawling product really was hard to explain. But if he had the CIO or the VP of IT or whoever in a room, they totally understood it, and they loved it. They started wanting to dive deep into these really specific problems in their organization, and David, who understood this subject and his product cold, was able to go there with them and walk away with a sale. And this meant something important. They had built the right product. They had. They finally, you had confirmation. It was the right product. They built this thing that customers needed. The problem was that David was the only effective salesman for it.
Someone came to me and said, Dave, you're asking our team, some of these people who this may be their first time selling an IT product, you're asking our team to do this evangelical sale where you have to have so much context and so much knowledge. This is never going to work. The deck, the slide deck to do the presentation is 50 slides. This is not going to work. We need to simplify this message.
So he and his team sat down and thought about how to change the messaging. What could the sales team effectively sell? And they realized every effective sales meeting had gotten into a conversation about policy.
It was all around policy management. At the end of the day, what they really loved about our platform was that you could create and enforce policies in the platform. Now, we called that a variety of things. We had you know, seven left-hand nav items, or you could click, you know. But to the customer, what it really boiled down to is that they saw that we could build, create, manage, enforce policies for their organization at scale and in an automated way. And that's when they started getting excited.
That was the key. It was a simple, straightforward thing that they could train their sales team to talk about. It was a simple, straightforward thing their customers could understand and appreciate. Now, okay, prior to that revelation, BetterCloud was getting like one new customer, maybe two customers a month. Then they changed the messaging, retrained the sales team, and boom. Immediate difference.
And then in June, it was 25 customers. And then each month after that, it was more and more. And we crushed the number at the end of September. And customers were loving it. And they were getting it. They were loving it.
BetterCloud has basically never looked back from there. It now has 200 employees, has raised $110 million so far, and continues to grow. So what are we to make of this story? First, very importantly, David's constant communication with his customers really did pay off. He built a product based on their needs and revised it based on their feedback. But what he forgot to do, and what ultimately he fixed, is that he wasn't always speaking their language. For a while, he'd gotten so caught up in what his company built that he wasn't really able to appreciate why it was useful to his customers. He'd taken in their input, but he wasn't giving them the right output. It's not just about working for the customer. It's about really understanding them, the way they think, the way they talk, the things they need. David did so much right, but that little misunderstanding nearly sidelined his company entirely. That is, until he got back to basics. He got back to really, really understanding his customer. And that is when everything changed. And that's our episode. But wait, before you go, please hear me out on a few ways you can stay in touch with the show and contact me directly. First of all, if you like the show, it would be amazing if you subscribe to it on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Problem Solvers. That way, you'll never miss an episode. We come out every Monday morning. Also, I love hearing from listeners. You can go to jasonfeifer.com. That's J-A-S-O-N, F as in Frank, E-I, F as in Frank, E-R.com, where you'll find my email address, social media handles, and also you can sign up for my monthly newsletter, The Feifer 5, which is 5 monthly insights and bursts of inspiration for entrepreneurs. It's basically a collection of the ideas that excited me the most that month. So please go check it out. And that's again, jasonfeifer.com. And if you want to drop me a line directly, please let me know about the problems you've solved, and I might have you read the letter in a future episode of the show. We can all learn from each other, and that also means you. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media, and this episode was edited by Conrad Martin. We are also online at entrepreneur.com. Again, I'm Jason Pfeiffer. Thanks for listening, and now go solve some problems.